I think it's an important piece of context if you're visiting our parish, glad to have you, to just share that this is my last weekend here. And so that sort of informs the rest of the homily, and I feel like if you're missing that, it may leave you wondering about some parts of what I'm going to say. I've known that these were going to be the last readings I had the chance to preach on with you all for probably about 5 months or so, and they've been a deep consolation to me in the entire time that I've been reflecting on them, because in so many ways they sort of beautifully speak about transition, the stuff that's stirred up in our heart, what God can do with all of that. First thing that stood out to me is Mark, in his gospel, just in general, does not waste words. And so whenever there's kind of a strange detail there, it always bears a little bit of reflection. And so he says, leaving the crowd, they took Jesus with them in the boat, just as he was. My own spiritual director pointed out to me how important in saying goodbye to you all that it would be to speak about kind of the healing work that the Lord has done in me, even physically, in the time that I've been with you. When I arrived, it was not that I was sent so much to take care of you, but actually the Archbishop's first desire was that I would have a place to be able to get healthy after that recurrence of my chronic illness. And that happened. I am healthier probably than I've ever been, so much so that someone once unknowingly asked my friend recently, so do you think he ever actually was sick? I can point you to a handful of doctors who would be glad to tell you that yeah, but take that as a mark of what the Lord has done through this assignment, through your love, through your prayers, and for that I'm profoundly grateful, for taking me just as I was. We're brought before, in our first reading in our gospel, a reality that I think maybe we don't call to mind enough: the sheer power of the Lord. And maybe what we don't call to mind enough is that that power isn't turned against us or standing apart from us, but rather is for us. It's fascinating because we rarely get Job in our weekend readings. And yet here it is for our first reading. And this little segment that we have is actually from a very long conversation between Job and God. After all of Job's suffering, God shows up to answer Job. But the way that God shows up is as this incredible force, this great power, right? He addresses Job out of the storm. And God reminds Job and all of us who reflect on it of his greatness. He's basically saying, okay, Job, you're going to question me. So tell me, were you there when I set the limits for the sea? Were you there when I made the day and the night? Were you there when I subjected all of the forces of nature to my will? And so we have this reality of God in his great power. And yet even in the Old Testament, where Job has, or where God has not fully revealed himself, where he's still disclosing who he is to the people of Israel, he chooses to address Job. He doesn't remain a distant, powerful, silent God. But he comes into Job's pain, even if only to reveal and remind him of his power. And so in Jesus, we see the full revelation of who God is. And so we have this other side of God, this other aspect of him, of his profound gentleness, his compassion, his love, his tangibility. God has chosen to become man in the second person of the Trinity. But not for a second does he lose that capacity to command all the forces of nature. And so in God we find not a God who is close and warm and fuzzy, but not really able to do much about what surrounds us, or a God who is distant and cold, but rather a God who paradoxically is close and powerful. And that both of those realities are there for us in that singular person that he is. And so this matters. This matters for those moments where we go to Jesus, what we perceive to be his smallness, his silence, and ask him, "Do you not care?" The experience of grief at a move is only one of those moments where we may face that down. There are countless others. The loss of a job, the death of a loved one, the diagnosis with an illness, troubles in our families, the loss of friendships. All of these things and so many more stir up within us that question of the apostles, "Do you not care?" And yet, Jesus speaks into that. He does show his power, speaking to the wind and the sea, "Be still, quiet." But we see even that he has something more in store. Because his question is not so much accusatory as it is inviting. They were going to be safe regardless. And so what Jesus invites them to is not just the sheer wielding of power, but rather the capacity to be like him, asleep in the stern during a storm. That is what it looks like to have the peace of God. That is what it looks like to have a God who is simultaneously so intimately close that he's closer than our next breath, and yet so profoundly powerful that created the whole universe with a word. This is the God who draws close to us, who loves us. This is the God that we serve, we as priest and people. Ultimately, a priest's life is not his own. It's not about him. None of ours are. And yet, God still chooses to use priests. He entrusts priests to people and people to priests. That's what a parish assignment is. And so in a very real way, the love that the Lord has blessed us with is a reflection of his own work. Been asked a lot over the last couple of months how I feel about my new assignment. And, you know, a quick conversation after Mass, coming in and out of the office, whatever, is not really the time or place to unfold all of that, but the second reading from St. Paul beautifully sums it up. "I love you all, and I will miss you profoundly. It has been a deep blessing to be with you." And yet that grief doesn't undo the excitement. And not the excitement about my next assignment in particular. There will be lots to discover there for the Lord to unfold as I move forward, but rather the excitement at being impelled by the love of Christ. This is the beauty of the promise of obedience, that when I knelt down before Archbishop Jakels, put my hands in his hands and promised obedience, there was a surrender to say that whatever he or his successors ask me to do, I don't have to give a second thought to, because it is Jesus sending me. Very wise brother priest, as I was sort of processing all this with him, he reminded me of St. Paul's own experience of this. I believe it's as he's leaving Ephesus, and Acts of the Apostles speaks to it. There's this deep grief. Everybody's weeping. And partially it's because Paul has let them know that he is going to be going to his own martyrdom, and so he says they'll never see him again. but it's very real love, and nobody prevents it. Paul doesn't try to stay. They don't try to keep him. They send him on with that love, with those prayers, recognizing that ultimately the same Jesus who entrusted them to one another also has his hands on the next stage as well. So it's okay for us to be in this place, for us to be wherever it is that we're at, to kind of rest in the humanity of the experience of a goodbye. I've, in 4 years, buried some of your parents, spouses, brothers and sisters, friends. I've married some of you, baptized your children. I've forgiven your sins, been able to preach to you, worked on annulments with you, been over to your house for dinner, and so many other things that matter. They're real. They've been beautiful gifts of love. I also recognize I am not St. Paul, certainly not our Lord, and so I have been far from perfect. And so I ask for your forgiveness for the times that perhaps I've hurt you or have not loved you in the way that you deserve to be loved. And so as we continue with Mass, we get to experience the closeness of Jesus, who is present, perhaps with that same silence in the Eucharist that the apostles experienced as he slept in the stern. But we don't have to ask, who then is this whom even wind and sea obey? We know who he is, that he is Emmanuel, God with us, and that in being God, he is greater than all of these things that may weigh on us, that might tempt us to say, do you not care? We know that he does. And so Mass is this great offering of all of those things. So in this, it is the offering of 4 years of gratitude. It is the offering of the pain that is inevitable in saying goodbye. It is bringing him all of those things that sorrow us, that frighten us, as well as all of those things that give us joy, great or small. It is bringing them to him in the profound intimacy of the Eucharist, but also trusting that there is a power beyond our capacity to perceive in that. And that in that power we are strengthened in the love of Christ to be impelled to take the good news of who he is and what he does to others. And so like St. Paul, I desire to grieve with you and to say goodbye. And I also beg you for your prayers as I go to where the Lord asks me to go. And that we do so resting in the embrace of God, who wastes nothing, in whom nothing is accidental, trusting in the greatness of that power as well as the greatness of the love that he has for each of us.